Well, welcome once again to the Legion of Reason. I am your host, the Irreverend Dr. Randy Tyson. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Twyla and Christine. So, hello, everybody.
Hello.
And, oh, it's silly thing is not showing the Skype. It's not showing the right Skype. Let me change that so that, let's see. Let's remove that and then add a source to Skype. Yeah, it still doesn't want to show the Skype. Great, okay.
It was going a moment ago.
Was it?
Yep.
Like all it shows right now is the Skype
Skype logo, yeah.
Yeah.
But now that's gone black and yep, there it is down.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. That's a silly thing. Okay, fine. Let me quit the other Skype. I'll bring it up. Lovely, technical issues. Oh gosh, where does that control seat? No.
New computer. New system, eh?
Yeah, it's a new system. It's going to be very, I don't know. This thing is just being really ornery. We might have no choice but to, let's see. Anyway, big news in the Catholic world with the grand jury in Pennsylvania coming down to naming 301 pedophile priests and over 1,000 victims so far. We're going to be talking about that and the Pope's response, etc., etc., etc. There was a webpage that, on the Archdiocese of Washington's website that was kind of giving false balance to to Cardinal Wuerl. It's called the Wuerl Record, and that was taken down pretty quickly because people were like, "Yeah, quit being apologists for a bishop who hid the crimes." And we're going to open up the phone lines later if anybody wants to talk about that. And Bill Donahue. The president of the Catholic League in the U.S. had a predictable response to the. Oh, on, I got to put the audio on.
I have that response up. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's filled with the usual tropes. It wasn't rape. It was inappropriate touching and stuff like that. Like that's. Come on. It's already bad, and not to mention the whole it was homosexuality, not pedophilia. Like, what? Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get to that. In American Theocracy Today, another case of faith-based child homicide via faith-based. Prayer. A Michigan couple, Tatiana Fusoli and Seth Welch, were charged with felony murder after their 10-month-old daughter died from malnutrition and dehydration, and they knew a month before that this child was underweight and malnourished. Yeah, and then what's funny is that there's a video of their court appearance to be, basically arraigned, and their reaction to the charges and their potential penalties, which are, of course, life in prison. It's pretty funny, if one can find humor in this whole thing.
Well, their reasoning sure isn't funny.
It was ridiculous. Anyway, Islamism, the Canada Revenue Agency has stripped an Ottawa mosque of its tax-free charity status for promoting hate and violence because they were, that's one of the things, they were bringing in speakers who have a history of promoting homophobia, basically condemning or proposing that that homosexuals be thrown from mountaintops, that kind of thing, you know, that kind of thing. And in Indonesia, the top Islamic body issues a fatwa against the measles vaccine, calling it religiously forbidden, claiming it contains pork and human cells. I'm going to let Twyla take the lead on that, I think, because she knows exactly what's what in there, whether that claim is true.
Yeah, the ingredient that they're using, I have the lowdown from the NHS, and they shouldn't be issuing a fatwa.
Well, they say it's okay for now because there's no other alternative, but if you, but it's going to have an effect on vaccination rates in a very, well, Indonesia is the most populous Muslim country in the world. It's not good. So anyway,
and Europe is experiencing, I think they've had 40,000-ish cases now too. So
in what, the last year? No, it can't be that high.
It was extremely high this year.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
because we've only had how many in Canada?
You know, not many.
Not very few. Certainly under 1,000.
But that could change within a month.
Yeah, yeah. You need to have a 95% vaccination rate for herd immunity to be effective for measles.
Oh, and most of the deaths and the highest amount of cases are in the Ukraine because of what's happening there politically.
Oh. Yeah.
Which involves Russia.
Yep. All right. Yeah, I think they got more things to worry about in Ukraine than measles. I think it's more like bullets.
Apparently, yeah. Bullets, it's almost better to die of measles, I guess.
Yeah, I think things are fairly calm over there now, but I don't know. Okay, so let's go to, I play a piece from the grand jury, just an excerpt from the grand jury in their press announcement, and this is just a small bit of it here. Let's go to that first.
One boy was forced to stand on a bed in a rectory, stripped naked, and pose as Christ on the cross for the priests. They took photos of their victim, adding them to a collection of child pornography which they produced and shared on church grounds. To make it easier to target their victims, the priests gave their favored boys gifts, gold crosses to wear as necklaces. The crosses were markings of which boys had been groomed for abuse. The grand jury saw one of those gold crosses when one of the victims of the Pittsburgh priests testified. In the Diocese of Scranton, the grand jury named 59 priests who sexually abused children. A diocese priest, Thomas Skotek, raped a young girl, got her pregnant, and then that priest arranged for an abortion. Bishop James Timlin expressed his feelings in a letter. He wrote, "This is a very difficult time in your life, and I realize how upset you are. I too share your grief." Except the bishop's letter was not for the girl. The bishop wrote that letter to the rapist.
Yeah, that's pretty screwed up. You know, that's just a small excerpt from the report. I can't remember how many hundreds of pages, but there's tons of other stuff in there.
I think it's over 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a jury's report, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the grand jury's report. And let's go to, let's see.
I haven't read the whole thing, but just the introduction is just really compelling. And
well, I watched the whole grand jury presentation, and it's the most important it's the most important event that has happened in this, because it brings home how serious this is. I mean, it was already on an intellectual level, you know, you read about it, etc., and that's one thing, but to hear this, you know, everything condensed into a single document. And this is just one diocese, right? So,
like I've said before, it's been going on for probably centuries across the globe.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. I'm sure it's still going on, you know?
Yeah.
Since they just shift them around and they seem to victim blame.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into some.
That grooming thing. That's with a cross. That is just, oh my God. It just makes absolutely, their stomach turn, you know?
Yeah. That's absolutely. Wow.
I mean, it all makes my stomach turn, but. Ugh. Like, you know, that means that they were cooperating.
Together.
It was a cabal of predatory priests. And remember that the average, you know, on average, about 6 to 7% of priests are pedophiles. So, like, how many don't we know about? You know, that's over 70 years, right? This is what this report covers. And what, you know, it's all over. It's in Canada. It's in, I bet you it's in Argentina too. And I would not be surprised. I can't, it's hard to believe with that number of potential pedophiles in worldwide that Francis couldn't have known as when he was, you know, before he was Pope. You know, when he was Archbishop there.
Right?
Oh, he had to know. I mean,
I'm not talking about just him.
Oh, no.
Prior to him as well.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well,
yeah. Every single pope.
Oh, I think they had to have.
Yeah. What I read about Pope John Paul II was that he thought of it as an American problem, as if that absolves the Catholic Church from doing anything about it. I mean, I don't care if it's just an American problem. It wasn't just an American problem, of course. It's worldwide. But so what? Why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you getting out in front of it? And they never did.
Ratzinger.
Yeah, Ratzinger was his attack poodle. He was in charge of that. I can't remember. Ratzinger became Pope Benedict. And, you know, they never really got out in front of any of this. Like, they were always behind. They're always, you know, when a new allegation came up, they would be dragged kicking and screaming to court or whatever, but never getting out in front of this and just saying, we're going to hand over everything we have to police. In fact, they had to raid places in Europe. They raided diocese offices in Europe to get information and evidence. So
names.
I don't believe that anyone in the upper echelons of the Vatican or even bishops hasn't at least heard of allegations against priests.
Well, especially since they had an underground railroad to shuffle them around. That takes organizing.
The system. It was called the system, and it actually had a name. And pedophile priests were shuffled around so that, in an attempt to hide the crimes, so that the Catholic Church wouldn't look bad. And of course, it made it look infinitely worse. It worked for a long time because the church could silence people. But now in the information age, that just was never going to happen. It's a different time. And thank goodness. Maybe we can put an end to this. But what is the Catholic Church? I mean, to prevent more
to prevent
cases down the road?
Nothing. If you go through Bill Donahue's screed here, it's completely disgusting. He's like, unlike most commentators and reporters, I've read most of the Pennsylvania grand jury report. The purpose of this statement is to debunk many of the myths and indeed lies that mar the report.
The myths are themselves myths. It's funny.
Wow. So here's a myth. Over 300 priests were found guilty. I don't believe that says that anywhere.
No, it doesn't say that anywhere.
This is a straw man. So, fact, no one was found guilty of anything.
Right.
Yet that didn't stop CBS from saying 300 predator priests abused more than 1,000 children.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah, dude, you can say that because allegedly there's evidence.
Yeah, well, if there was
you say allegedly when you don't have.
Yeah, allegedly doesn't.
Not demonstrated yet to be a fact.
Yeah. The word allegedly doesn't have any legal power. So if you use it and accuse people wrongly, you're not protected legally just because you use that word. But the thing is, for most of these crimes, the vast majority, the statute of limitations had passed. And they couldn't.
So no one said
that's the only reason it's alleged. Otherwise, they'd have been indicted. I mean,
that's the first straw man. This is the second myth. The report was warranted because of the ongoing crisis in the Catholic Church. Fact, there is no ongoing crisis. That's a total myth. In fact, there is no institution,
that's
private
unreal.
Or public, that has less of a problem with the sexual abuse of minors than the Catholic Church. That makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. Of course, there's a crisis in the Catholic Church. What do you say to something that is so vapid like that? I mean, it's just nothing but, you know what? Fuck you, Bill.
Yeah.
Can I elaborate on that point? To single out the Catholic Church, says Bill, without ever investigating any other institution is akin to doing an investigation of crime in low-income minority neighborhoods while allowing white-collar crimes committed in the suburbs to go scot-free. And then non-whites are criminally plumb. That would be a scam. So is cherry-picking the Catholic Church. Like,
wow.
Whoa, enacting.
That's a two-coup argument, right? Hey, look at these other guys over there. They're doing something bad, too. Why are you picking on us? Well, they ain't doing it to
kids.
Yeah,
but also virtue signaling, too, right?
Well, convict those people. They're subject to the laws of the land, whereas you guys hid everything, covered it up. It was disgusting.
Yeah. There's the other one. Where is it? The priests raped their victims. That's a myth, according to him. Shapiro said that church officials routinely and purposely describe the abuse as horseplay and wrestling and inappropriate contact. Okay, we're already into bad behavior by people who have power over children. It was none
and
of
now trying
things.
To minimize it.
Yeah,
you might as well just slap the victims in their faces.
Yeah,
calling them liars is what they're doing.
You know what? I'm gonna play something real quick here. It's where is it? Okay, here.
I think a lot of these people are gold diggers looking to get money from the Catholic Church.
That's what he said in a 2009 interview on Irish radio. He thinks of these people as gold diggers.
Right.
This guy.
They're not suing for crying out loud.
Another
straw man.
They want change in the Catholic Church, and I personally think they should just leave and never look back. Join the rest of us, and. You know, but this is the single biggest organization that has this. Yes, abuse happens in other Christian sects, and I'm sure it happens in Islam as well. And we know it does. I mean,
we've heard of it from FLDS, obviously.
Yeah, FLDS for sure. Happens.
Well, and coaching,
and we do something about it.
It's not. They're just not being singled out because they're being singled out. They're being singled out because there's something there that needs to be investigated, you know?
Yeah. And there isn't a whole, you know, worldwide coordination of hiding coaches and shifting them school to school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
This is the key line. Every person we're talking about, every person whom he groped was a teenager, meaning this was a homosexual ring. He's talking about
another.
Yeah. So here we go. Equating homosexuality or conflating homosexuality with pedophilia. There is no. No more a percentage of pedophiles in amongst the homosexual community
Not,
or. Heterosexual. It doesn't matter. when his cold, black, shriveled heart stops, I will not mourn his passing. He's been doing this, saying this kind of crap for years. But he survives on the donations of Catholics who share his opinion.
Yep.
So don't say it's just Bill. It's not. There's a lot of Catholics out there who support him financially. That means they support him willingly and knowingly. It's not like,
false
flag or whatever.
Like they've been involved in fascism and genocide and cultural genocide, I can't understand how you can call yourself a Catholic. I used to say that and I'm just kind of like, it's probably some, defense or whatever kind of thing, right? But now I'd be so embarrassed to call myself a Catholic if I were a Catholic.
That's because you have a conscience. I just wouldn't, That's because you have a soul.
Wow.
And there's that old trope, but it'll change. It'll change.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like they're never out in front of these things and saying, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this to prevent any future events like this happening. But, like the public school does.
They're lying about it. That means they're going to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, they say that, okay, people that work with kids have to go through some training program. And it's like, that's not good enough. People who are pedophiles are just going to go through that training and who says they follow it?
I don't know about that, but I know here if you want to volunteer in a school, you have to have a police check.
Yep, background.
You know? They can't get convicted if you're moved around every time you commit a crime. So
just to volunteer in a school, and I think I'm fine with that.
And you never are in situations which could foster any allegation. You shouldn't be alone with a kid in a room with a closed door. Something like that, right? It protects both parties, mm-hmm. right?
Unfortunately, they're not going to give that warning to every child that goes to church. Instead, these people are in positions of authority, and they're told, you listen to these people. They have the word of God.
Yeah. So the seriousness of the grand jury accusations, they're calling for a federal investigation of sex abuse in Catholic Church. These are the victims. SNAP is the primary organization, the survivors network of those abused by priests.
You notice they're not suing them? You notice they're not asking for money?
Yeah, they are not gold diggers. These people are victims, and they want change.
Justice.
But
they want to protect the next generation. They don't want money.
Yeah, it's a horrible crime, and because there was such a big problem in Ireland. I mean, it was a running joke that what. It was easier to count the number of children who hadn't been abused. He's in Ireland now, and he's getting a rocky reception. What did he say? He decries the failure of bishops in abuse scandal. Now, I don't think the bishops actually failed. Their whole purpose was to hide things. They were pretty good at it.
They didn't fail. They were successful.
They were very successful. The failure was in getting caught. How many bishops have been put on trial for hiding these crimes? I think there's only one or two. I mean, now Pell's going on trial, but I assume there's a gag order because we haven't heard anything out of Australia. At least I haven't. If anybody's in Australia and can add something, they can phone the number. I'm gonna put the number up. It's toll free 1-587-288-1067. But let me just get the secondary Skype up so that anybody can phone. So you can see it at the bottom of your screen, 1-587-288-1. Okay, come on, show yourself. Let me just get this secondary Skype up here.
And I know that Vincent is watching us on Facebook. And
hello.
I don't think anybody is on YouTube.
Aw.
Aw.
Yeah, I'd like. I guess Australia would be morning, right? Monday morning. That sucks. Anyway, the secondary Skype is up, so anybody wants to phone, they can do so. This is what galled me about this article here. The Pope said he shared the anger of Catholics over how bishops handled the scandal. This is like a CEO of a company going to striking workers and saying, "I share your anger."
Sure.
Like,
sorry, dude.
You don't get to be one of them. Okay, you just don't. You don't get to be one of these people. I mean, that's what this is. It's an attempt at putting himself on the same level as you know, people that are upset at the Catholic Church. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. It's happened on your watch. It happened on your predecessor's watch. And for all we know, it's still happening. I mean, Look at the situation in Chile. It won't end until we can actually show that something's being done. And I have yet to see
instead of the diatribes that Donahue's.
Yeah. Donahue is just out of touch with reality.
Is that the vast majority of his kind, though?
I don't know. I don't think so. But the thing is, if you're a decent person and you're still Catholic, you still paid, into the coffers of pedophile priests and bishops who hid the crimes. You're still complicit, you know. You don't get to say, "Oh, that's not Catholicism." Well, who cares? It's not the point.
That's pretty harsh, Randy, but it's also profoundly
that's true.
Well, it's totally harsh. It's not the point. It's been a part of the Catholic Church for a long time, and you supported it. I've got no. Yeah, like you said, people should be absolutely ashamed. I mean, I can't even think of. I was trying to think of a stronger word because it doesn't convey what these people should be feeling. How do they compartmentalize this? You know, like still go. You can be a Catholic and not go to Mass. You know, it's perfectly possible. I mean, I know it doesn't. The Catholic Church says that's not how you punch your ticket to heaven, but
there's lots of cherry picking going on.
Yeah,
why not? Why not that one?
Yeah. I mean, do you really want to be a part of an organized criminal? Pedophilia
organized
ring.
Pedophile ring.
Yeah. It just amazes me that. That's the way we have to look at it now. It should be a mark of shame to be Catholic.
And support that behavior.
I keep saying that, try them under RICO because it's an ongoing conspiracy. So, but I don't know. Anyway. Oh, yeah. There's another allegation of cover-up. This other cardinal who's actually kind of has some animosity towards Frank, who's Vigano is the last name, is alleging cover-up, and he won't say anything. The Pope won't say anything about it. I'm not sure how to read that. I don't read it well because you got to get out in front of these things. Just saying... He refuses to say anything. It's behind you're behind. You're playing.
Yeah, but you might also be given advice by a lawyer not to talk to, right?
I think at this point, don't do the legal thing. That's
yeah, I hear
don't
that.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't listen to the lawyers. Get out in front of it.
It's PR at this point.
Well, right? At this point, like it's
listening
like
to your lawyer about.
There's nothing less than complete transparency and complete
remorse,
giving over the evidence to police and just say, you guys, we can't be trusted to, and they can't be trusted to investigate themselves, which is why SNAP is calling for an outside investigation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they have to get out in front of this and just come clean. Just say our files on these cases are open to law enforcement. Done.
You guys
run with this and wherever the chips land. That's all that's acceptable now. There's nothing else that's remotely acceptable.
Yeah, right now the message is you can still, be a pedophile in the Catholic Church and get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. I don't see any real significant change in that.
Yeah, let's have, wear body cams while you're, I'm being a little bit whatever, but lots of other places have surveillance. Why shouldn't certain areas of churches have surveillance too,
Yeah, well, certainly, it should be.
The bathroom maybe, but, there's certain areas where things are conducted and what the hell?
Yeah, I suppose.
Then they can stream it and everybody can enjoy more services for free too.
There's certain places you wouldn't want to have that, of course.
No, but
no glory holes. The confessional.
No, but
that kind of thing. So I'm just going to switch really quickly to Australia again. I guess there was an Australian archbishop who was convicted of not reporting abuse cases there. Archbishop Philip Wilson. Isn't that the name of a comedian? Well, that was Flip Wilson. Okay. Yeah. I knew that was sort of tickling the back of my brain. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's you got the cultural reference?
I did.
Holy shit.
I just remember, I don't know, maybe my parents watching stuff on TV.
The 70s.
I can't put a face to the name.
Yeah, I can. But,
okay.
Yeah, it doesn't look like this Philip Wilson.
Okay.
This guy's white. He's a cracker.
It's
a cracker like us. He resigned as Archbishop of Adelaide on July 30th, and he was convicted in May. Why is he waiting until July to resign? I mean, he was convicted in May of failing to report allegations of child sexual abuse disclosed to him in the 1970s. And yeah, this is 12-month sentence under house arrest.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, that's just... Really? At least cut his cable, Take away his internet. Like, no. That's it. Just because the guy is 60... Well, he's not even that old. 67's not that old. I mean, when you get to 55, like me, and you think... Yeah, 67 ain't that old. Of course, when I was 20, you're like, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Anybody else want to say anything on the whole thing?
I don't think I have any words. I hope I've been, harsh enough.
And the victims even say... They have heard words from the past Pope before, Lorenz and Ianni said, but the church needs action specifically that all dioceses in the U.S. post names of accused clerics on church websites, as well as where they are now, and support state laws that extend or get rid of statutes of limitations for victims of child sex abuse, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not asking for money.
Yeah, somebody that you asked to comment on... the story a lawyer posted, and in Canada there is no statute of limitations on this kind of crime.
Good.
Yeah.
But no, U.S.
good to
is
know,
different.
Actually, you know. Yeah.
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 Yeah. The Diocese of Greensburg, they actually issued an apology for past failings. Not for future failings, but for past failings. And they promised to release names of accused priests. So they're actually going to do that. And good. Greensburg, I think, is, yeah, Pennsylvania as well. Yeah. Greensburg, PA.
I know it's a little bit flippant in the whole video camera thing, but like, seriously, why don't they, you know, like public schools do, you shouldn't be in, you know, a room alone with a child with the door shut or,
exactly.
You know, a little bit of, there's surveillance
and enforce it.
Convenience stores and, you know, which is of course to both benefits, right?
Like, well, why not stop leaving your child alone at church?
Well, anybody, like, yeah, well, there's that too, but I mean, just things that the church could proactively do now that would
follow the public school example.
That, okay, maybe you're actually serious about your bullshit that you're spewing. That's just rhetoric at this point, right? Or you
it
know.
Is. And yeah, that's all yeah. it is. There's nothing concrete. And my suspicion is that every diocese is kind of a force unto itself, right? It only. You know, there's no blanket policy that can be applied. It has to be diocese by diocese. I don't care. Just do it.
But does it? What if the Pope just said, "Hey, from now on,
could
we're going to put
it?
Cameras in your church, and you're not to be alone with a child without the door open."
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
that's really
that,
easy. It's really
until
easy.
Until that happens, don't let your kid be alone at church with anybody.
yeah, never be alone with a child, you know. That could happen tomorrow night, right? That could happen overnight. Maybe not the cameras, that's a little more or whatever, but just to say that, you know. Yeah.
As a parent, I would be there the whole time my kid was there.
If I was a parent, I wouldn't be a Catholic anymore.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Well, you wouldn't have been anyway, but... Yeah, man. Why does anybody? I was reading.
Thank God I'm an atheist.
I was reading something there. Why Catholics shouldn't marry non-Catholics, and I'm just like, why would anybody who isn't Catholic marry a Catholic? You know, you really got to be.
Oh, it happens.
I suppose it happens.
Yeah, because they're cherry picking Catholics, and they're cherry picking whatever the other is, right?
Well, then you get assholes like Mel Gibson who says his wife's going to hell.
Yep.
Yeah, but he's an asshole. I think most. Well, I don't know.
It's the Catholicism that made him an asshole. That's the thing.
I know, but I also know, you know, like people who are, yeah, I'm Catholic, but they're not. You know what I mean? Like they still want, I guess, that identity.
Oh, so they're really not Catholics, is what you're saying? Is
well, exactly.
At all.
It's just like
cultural Catholics, which is
identification.
Yeah, there's
right?
no such
you
thing.
Know?
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear what you said because I was too busy talking over you.
Yeah, no, I was just saying there's no such thing as a cultural Catholic. Either you're Catholic or you're not. I mean, according to the Vatican, right? You don't get to pick and choose.
They need to start doing what the Jews did.
Oh,
there's a group
call
of Jews
here.
That
Sam's calling
are
in.
Jewish, but they don't go to church and all that stuff. They keep the culture. Judaism. Like, they do the Christmas stuff.
Hey, Sam.
Oh, not Christmas,
yes,
sorry.
I got trying to find my audio.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, you got to turn it down. There we go.
Monica.
Switch away from it.
Okay.
Hey, Sam.
We got Sam on the line.
Echoey.
I'm not doing video because I'm having dinner.
Yeah.
Ah.
So just take the audio. I'm really hopping mad with this Catholic Church thingy. It's really, really bad. And it's 300 bishops. And 1,000 children, and 99 of the bishops are from one what is it called?
Diocese.
Diocese
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much everyone.
Well, it's over 70 years, so there's a lot of, I guess it must be a lot of Catholics in Pennsylvania, but... certainly,
if anyone is still financing the Catholic Church, yuck on you.
Yeah, Yeah, I agree.
Like, yuck! Like I'm hopping mad, yuck!
Yeah.
So what do you think about the Pope's visit to Ireland?
They shouldn't have done it. He should have cowered in shame in his chambers.
Yeah, it's
just ridiculous. And you know what? This is the Catholic Church, all nice and dandy. They do this. We kind of figured that out already by now. What about the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Russian Church? They have exactly the same set of edicts. They have celibacy. They have priests. And they get a lot of children.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're not going to hear about them for a while, but like,
actually, you know what? Vincent Stevens commented earlier that he's part Russian and Ukrainian, so maybe he'd like to call in and comment on that if he has any understanding of it.
I want to tee it up for him.
Yeah, not much comes out of Russia, though. It's very controlled.
They're in bed with Putin as well, so.
Yeah.
It's we're not going to hear much out of there for a while, but I expect it's not just the Russian Orthodox Church, but the Greek Orthodox as well. I wouldn't be surprised if similar scandals erupted from them as well.
It would totally be within parameters, if you like.
Yeah, well, and the Catholic Church is also implicated in the genocide in Rwanda. And they apologized for that big deal.
Too late.
Like, after, you know, how many thousands of Hutus were murdered. They're not a force for good in the world. They're a force. I don't know. It's got this veneer of good, but you scratch it and
it just comes right off.
It's just rotten inside.
Yeah. Yep, it is.
And they're also the most socially regressive group, single identifiable group. I mean, they're against assisted dying and gay marriage. They're just absolutely regressive. They're way behind. Yep. And any of the stuff that they take credit for, well, it actually was already there. They were brought into it. They weren't at the front. They've never been at the front of anything, except in battle.
I have a confession. I was responding to Vincent and didn't realize I'd missed a whole conversation in our chat, of which Sam and you are participating. And I'm sorry, I just realized that now. And thank you for everybody that's participating. Call in. Yeah. Vincent says it's his heritage. He doesn't really know anything about the Orthodoxy. So anyway, thought I'd interrupt that. Confess my technological inexpertise.
At least you're looking, so thank you.
Yeah, I think my family on my mother's side, they've married into, I want to say Ukrainian Orthodox, but strange.
How are Australians so silent about the whole thing?
Well, I don't think, they're not. I mean, they've had a whole, similar to Ireland, they had a whole commission that investigated.
Are you talking about hell specifically?
Like, they are. I haven't heard a whole lot about after Cardinal Hell.
I suspect that there is a gag order on that that was in place. They were trying to get one, and it is a gag order which is so broad that you can't even say that there's a gag order in place. It's just that's how broad it is, and I'm not being hyperbolic. It really, you can't say even that much. So I suspect that's what's going on there.
And I suspect that they're going to sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, I would like somebody from Australia to correct me on that.
Literally, nobody would notice if they did.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
I think that's totally possible.
I mean, we're
possible.
All kind of, we're, yeah. there's a, oh, like, look at us. We're talking about it now.
I'm watching you know, Bell.
Watch like it now. Just let the trial run for 2 years and tell me who's going to notice when it ends. Nobody. It
depends on whether there's a, oh no, I don't agree with that. No. That's big news in Australia. That's huge.
Well, if it ever comes out, because if it never comes out, then nobody will notice
it'll come
that
out.
The trial ended.
You can't keep something like that secret. There's no way. There's just no way.
Stuff greater than that was kept secret for centuries.
Yeah, but
what,
not
what
by
can
the,
mention
the government.
Right now about
I don't
it?
Buy that argument anymore.
Somebody will leak it at the very least. There's no way. No way it's a stay secret. Just won't happen.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I don't have high
too
hopes
important.
In the legal systems of the world to even approach this.
And neither do I, but do I do well, public pressure.
That was one of the findings of the grand jury, was that law enforcement participated in covering up crimes in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Which also makes me wonder why the statute of limitations applies, because that would mean that if there was an ongoing conspiracy, that the statute of limitations doesn't start when the crimes happen. It starts when the conspiracy ends. And as far as I can tell, that conspiracy is still ongoing.
Agreed.
So I don't know. I'm not a legal expert, but I think that it'd be interesting to hear from an American lawyer whether or not there's a way around statutes of limitations like that.
There's probably some weasel way around it.
I would hope so. And and somebody get after these guys, because this is why the grand jury came forward publicly. Because the majority of the crimes that they were listing couldn't be prosecuted. They couldn't indict, even though they wanted to. Bill Donahue can just go suck it. They didn't find them guilty, but they sure as hell wanted to indict them.
Well, if a grand jury indicts you, that means they think there's a chance that you're guilty.
Yes.
Right. I mean, grand jury is kind of a big word, but basically they look at the evidence and they say, okay, this thing has a preponderance of evidence that says these things happened and those people did it. And therefore, they're recommending a court hearing.
Yes, that's right.
This should go forward as a case versus, nothing really happened.
But they couldn't do that in this case because, like I said, the majority of these crimes happened too long ago, but they wanted to make it public so that the public knew. And so they presented the report publicly.
Yes.
That's the only thing they could have done. That's the only thing they could do.
Yeah.
But it was very powerful.
Yeah, I don't know if a single speeding ticket is going to be issued for this.
Well, I don't know. It's most of the crimes, again, happened too long ago to prosecute. But at least they are out there that, you know, these people did, you know, we think they did this.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if the church survives this. Like, what's the point then? They're not going to reform. Like, if you thought they were going to reform, you're wrong. If you're approaching this, like, let's put pressure on them to reform, that's not going to happen.
I think there's going to be a change.
Yeah, because they've always they accepted evolution. They respond because they want asses and seeds.
we can set the time limit and we can have a bet on that. How about that?
Yeah, 10 years from now.
Okay, well, last time Randy and I had a bet, let's let Nate be the arbiter or whatever, right? Nate Phelps.
It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen tomorrow. No one's saying that's going to happen tomorrow. 10 years.
What's today?
I'll give it 10 years.
August 26th.
2018.
Put it in your iPhone.
While he's writing this down or what?
It's going to be 10 years down the road, though, before
years.
We see anything.
I'm going to hold you guys to it, and I'm going to get Nate to be the arbiter.
Right?
Okay, fine. Let's not set the terms.
Jack Daniels.
Of the bet, we're going to drink. That's it.
Jack Daniels Black. as I recall, right?
They still make it in 10 years. Yeah. Wait, these trade wars, who knows what we're going to be doing.
Jack Daniels is too big to fail.
Whatever hitch drink, that's what the band is. I think it was Black. No, J.W. Black, sorry.
Oh, yeah, right. Johnny Walker. Yeah. Well, they're both too big to fail, so there you go. They'll be bailed out for sure.
Somebody find us.
One of the things that does extremely well during downturns in the economy is anything to do with alcohol. So you can't lose, right? It still does well even when things are okay.
Yeah, fortunately, there are cheap alcohols.
So mind you, that might change with the coming change in October with
marijuana
legalization. I don't know.
Well, how about the blasphemy laws in Canada?
Those are gone.
No, they're not.
The zombie laws? Yeah, it's gone.
No, it's not.
It's gone.
The law is on the floor. It hasn't been voted.
Oh, it hasn't been. Oh, okay, well, okay. So it's pretty close, though. Oh. It's going to go.
I thought it was going to die on the floor. Sorry.
Well, they reintroduce it. It can die on the floor. They'll reintroduce it.
Somebody blaspheme a little bit. Come on, give me my freedom.
Freedom of speech, yeah. You're free to believe what you want, here. Sam.
Well, I want to say it.
What?
Like God eating lemons.
Can suck a lemon. I think that's what the expression that you're looking for. God can suck a lemon.
That's the expression.
Well, of course I did. I should be free to blaspheme, and that's all there is to it. If you try to do that in Britain or Germany, you're in a lot of trouble.
Oh yeah, those countries are built on religion.
I understand Germany because in a way I think they're still wrong, but in Germany they don't want a repeat of the Nazi regime. But I think that's wrongheaded.
Look what happened when it's been driven underground. That element has always been there, and now they've just, now they're emboldened, right? It's not like that element disappeared just because you took away any possibility of discussing it,
Well, they also disbanded the groups that are the enforcement part of it. There used to be watches on those groups so that something could be done if they started planning, say, a terrorist attack. But as soon as Trump came in, they got rid of all that. There's no watch.
That's a different thing that's separate from blasphemy laws then, right? Of course you're going to, as a government, watch your dodgy groups, right? But, I think getting rid of freedom is... That's basically a secular blasphemy law, right?
Yeah, it is.
And... It clearly didn't work because now you see these elements rising up. And I just wonder if there had been the ability to mock and call out and shame and, drive underground, right? As a
Chris, you're going to have to be able to.
They try that in the church too. They shame you if you're an atheist. That just drove me away even further. So I don't know if shaming them just emboldens them.
Well, yeah, driving them underground and not letting them speak.
There's a lot of people who are capable of
letting them speak and then just making asses of themselves and us getting a chance to mock, might be the better. Like
getting mocked might just make them madder and more
criticized or. Yeah, but then if they get madder and they have to express that publicly, they're just going to look more and more ridiculous, right?
No, actually, because it'd be a cool social experiment.
Yeah, we're living it, unfortunately.
And once they get mocked...
Yeah, we're living the social experiment.
And the banality of their arguments exposed, they will think about it and they will say, well, maybe I was wrong. And then they'll be able to change their mind. But if you cocoon them in, isolate them within themselves, then they'll never... never change their mind because there would be no impetus.
Well, they're named martyrs.
Yeah, they're not looking. They're being shunned by most of society and can't interact to hear the counter arguments, I suppose, right? Because they're in their little group and they're listening to their own group think shit.
And then if they hear negatives about their group, they feel they're marginalized and they're victimized. And
yeah, that's the thing. That victimhood culture promotes.
That seems to.
I was wondering when the Catholic Church is going to pull the victim card out of this.
Oh, Bill Donahue has been playing that card all along. I mean,
it's just a constant.
Yeah, but nobody.
It's like five victim cards at any given time on a poker table or something, right? Like, it just seems spread out.
I don't know how David Silverman put up with him. I just don't understand why he didn't just, one of those times that he was on TV with Bill Donahue, just didn't get up and just strangle him. I just go, do the world a favor. Take one for the team. He's a real piece of anyway, Sam, we're gonna move on.
He knows how to, present himself in a public situation.
Yeah,
like
he's a better man at that than I. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't use a gender neutral pronoun.
Okay, well,
thanks for calling, Sam.
I'll keep listening on the rest of the show.
Yep, we're gonna get on to just one other Catholic story, but it's Trinity Western University has given up the ghost. They're, remember they were, their accreditation was pulled by bar associations because they had these covenants where students had to students and staff had to abide by, they can't have sex outside of marriage, you can't be gay. They gave up the ghost because the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the bar associations. So they had no choice in the end but to get rid of that covenant. And so good news on that front.
Good.
But they're still fully committed to foundational evangelical Christian principles.
Oh, yeah. They'll still do it. It's just not on the books.
Yeah, well, the problem is they're training lawyers.
Yeah, that's
not
the
a good
problem.
Thing to kick people out when everybody's a lawyer.
Okay, I'll say bye to everybody.
Huh. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, it's a good news on that front. Welcome into the 18th century, I guess, at this point. Right. They're not in the 20th or 21st. Whatever. Yeah. We're going to, I think, go to the Michigan couple. I'm going to bring that up on the Chrome browser. These two parents, they're both age 27. Michigan infant died after parents refused to get help for religious reasons, police say. Seth Welch and Tatiana Fusoli, I'm thinking of pasta. I don't know, I'm hungry. They had a 10-month-old daughter that they basically starved and dehydrated to death. But the fun part of this, this is, if there's such a thing from this tragic story, is that their arraignment was filmed and you could just see what happens, what their thoughts, are displayed on their faces. I think it's a lot of histrionics, I'm going to play that. I'm actually making a documentary. Okay. And I'm going to submit it. I think this will win the Toronto International Film Festival. This is the scene from the courtroom, and I'll just I got to change my, there we go. I'm going to do that. And here's the scene. Oops. There we go.
Is a charge called homicide felony murder. It is life without parole. It requires a DNA sample to be taken upon arrest, which is often like a cotton swab or in the inside of your cheek. The second offense that you're both charged with is called child abuse in the first degree, where they're alleging you knowingly or intentionally caused serious physical harm to a child. We're talking about this Mary Welch. It is a felony, possible penalty of up to life imprisonment, or any term of years less than life.
Well, there. What do you think? That's got to be a winner. That's got to be a winner.
You're fucked up, Randy.
But you could just see it on their faces.
You're bent and twisted and sick, which I really appreciate about you. That was
fun. I had fun making that. You know, it's like you didn't realize that murder came with
consequences.
Yeah.
But you know what it reminds me of? What are those two here? With a True Hope vitamin shit. What's his name?
Yeah, the Stefans.
Yeah, yeah. So he had kind of the same, like, outrage response, whereas his wife was like, oh, my goodness, I think I actually feel regret now, kind of thing. But the outrage that these two are capitalizing with no apology, with no regret, it is so fucking sickening.
Yeah. My, so shameful. Kid died. Their child died because of what they did, and they still don't seem to get that.
Yeah, and I kind of thought, like, what's his name? Stefan? What the hell is his name?
You David know what I'm Stefan? Talking about. Oh, David Stefan?
Yeah, David Stefan.
Yeah.
And like that same arrogant, like, oh, no, you're wrong. It's all about my rights. Like this moral outrage, like they've been wronged. That is... Ugh.
They should have the choice to choose their child any way they wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my right to murder my child. Yeah. Who the hell are you to
it's my
judge,
kids.
Right? Like, oh, yeah. Sickening. And especially that David getting invited to the, Health and Wellness Expo as a speaker. Yeah. Thank you again to the, Grey Eagle Casino for mixing that shit.
And isn't it just say a lot that they're holding it at a casino?
Well, no, actually, that casino has some pretty freaking awesome events. That
it does, really but do. I mean, like, it, yeah, just, it just has that kind of vibe.
Extra income.
It's a venue, right?
It's a venue, but I mean, it's not exactly. Yeah. It's a venue for.
You get scammed for money there.
We could say the same thing about, like, the Stampede Grounds or whatever those kinds of things are held down there, right?
Exposition. Like what? Music?
Yeah. It's just a venue. Oh, people pay to, you know.
Yeah, but it's not during the stampede.
The irony is they fleece you for money in their little machines and games, and that's what the health expo does. So they fleece you for money based on baloney.
Well, that's kind of what I mean.
But you know what? When you put money in machines, sometimes you actually win, right? Oh,
no.
On average, you'll get 66% back. You'll lose a third of your money every time, at least, even if you win. Because. Yeah. You spend $100, you get 70 back, you're happy?
No, but if I put in 20 and I get back 30, I'm happy.
Yeah. Most people don't stop at 30. They'll keep going and going. They'll spend like 200 and they'll get 75 back. Oh, I won.
Yeah, they'll always think I'm due to win. And it's, of course, no, you're not. You're not doing anything. It's a lot of average.
I often just defend casinos because, A, they've got cheap food and cheap drinks because that's, you know, not where they're getting their money from, right? Yeah. That's a Lurian. So, you know, you can, if you're not into anything. And I know that the Grey Eagle has kind of like their stage with entertainment. So if you're not into, I mean, you don't have to gamble to kind of enjoy yourself there. And,
That's unlike most.
Yeah. If I don't mind blowing $20 as part of my entertainment budget because that whole night with dinner and blah, blah, blah kind of thing is cheaper than going to a movie in a restaurant. So if I lose $20, whatever. But if I win, and sometimes you do. If I win $10, $20, $30,
I'll walk away with it. Most people don't. They'll shove it back in. They're like, "Oh, I'll get more next time." No.
And another thing too, they've got there's so many cameras and security around there that nobody's going to bug you, right?
Yeah.
You know, and even if you were to have like a huge one, they'll walk you to your car and all that kind of stuff, right? Like the So I. Yes, I get the whole gambling argument that, you know, if you're that kind of person that's addicted to it, don't do it. But if you just want to have a fun night out, that's a little bit cheap. not a bad way to go. You know?
If you win $10 on top, if you put in 20, you get out 30, take it and run.
Yeah, no kidding, because then you probably paid for dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or at least a drink or two. Yeah.
Anyway, let's go back to the story of the moment.
Yeah, kid died.
So the parents told police that they had known for at least a month that their daughter seemed underweight, and Fusari acknowledged that they declined to seek help for fear of having her children removed by Child Protective Services.
She'd rather kill a child than...
Get help.
And they didn't want to be accused of lack of faith, and they had... They had a lack of faith and trust in the medical services and for religious reasons. So
he's maybe, like, his whole explanation here in this article is we killed our child because guess what? The alternative would have killed my kid too. He has absolutely no faith in the medical industry. He basically took this as an opportunity to slam preventatives, slam doctors, slam health industry. And he's like,
did you watch the video? Oh, okay.
We're bad enough reading it.
We're going to play the video here. I've got my own captions in here, but it's like, edited a bit.
He's like, my kid died, but she would have died anyway. Because you would have killed her too.
Okay, here's the rant from...
I'm not opposed to medicine or doctors. I'm opposed to bad medicine and doctors that are just... Well, that aren't really doctors. They're just like... They're almost just they're priesthoods of the medical cult. They're priests of the medical cult. You know, they have a certificate from some training camp somewhere that says, you know, they got this test score, but that doesn't mean that they know like about the human body and stuff like that. I don't think you can be a good doctor if you don't believe in creation. Why? Because, well, you have to understand the purpose of the body. You have to understand how it's supposed to function, and therefore why, and both those things require a creator in order to actually properly diagnose and then fix it, right? So I think if you believe in evolution, it's basically bad doctor practice right from the beginning because, well, just give them drugs, it'll evolve, right? They'll just evolve and adapt to it. If you see my videos, you know, I was a guinea pig of the, you know, mental health pharmaceutical industry when I was a kid. I do understand how this works pretty well. Well, I'll give you an example of bad medicine. I didn't want to get my kid vaccinated, but I was just like, I was afraid. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen if I said no. And what happened when I said no is I got CPS called on. But I learned, you know, just how to deal. When my daughter, you know, I was still going to the doctor. I was following up with the doctor appointments, whatever. I was kind of shaking the bars, but I was still doing it. And the doctor measured Elizabeth's head, and he said, her head is 1 millimeter out of round. Her head isn't round enough. It's not the proper shape. We need to prescribe her a head-shaping helmet to bring her head back into proper alignment. And that costs about $3,500. Didn't the ancient Chinese used to do that with their heads? They would bind up their heads to make them grow elongated, or they did that with their feet. Different cultures did different stuff like that. And I was like, wow, we try to pretend like we're so far advanced and beyond all that stuff, but no, not really. So yeah, this guy just tried to, you know, peddle me something, and you know, he worked for one of these large health corporations.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
It's
even worse.
But that's basically what he's saying. He's like, well, you're so stupid. You're going to hurt my child, because he must have been told something about the child's head that maybe basically you can't believe what he's saying. It's so outrageous. No doctor, unless maybe it's a naturopath, would have said that. So I'd like to know.
A phrenologist.
But he's like, oh, he's part of the medical establishment.
I knew he was going to get that joke in there somewhere.
But no, he's justifying his not taking his kid to a doctor with that bullshit story.
Yeah, I mean, like, out of round? So it's this. You're supposed to look like Charlie Brown?
You know what I think he's thinking is, like, you know how people... You know, would bind their head to make their skull grow kind of, you know, longer.
But no doctor.
Or binding feet, or, you know, like this kind of, you know, or wrapping those things around your neck to, you know, make your neck elongated.
probably an actual issue with probably that.
Yeah, like he a cultural practice versus, you know, like
an actual medical issue
in the comments, right? Yeah, yeah.
If there's anyone who knows what would a baby need to stabilize some kind of
food
growth,
and water.
Maybe there's something wrong with the fontanelle. Maybe there was, like, there's no way what he's saying is true.
Well, plagiocephaly is a real thing. I mean, you can have, you know, a flat head, and they will prescribe a helmet for it.
Yeah, and he's saying, millimeter, blah, blah, blah. But he probably didn't listen to the consequences of what Randy's explaining at all and doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But... was this in Canada or U.S.?
No, it's Michigan, so U.S.
Well, yeah. So, of course, the cost of medical care there, and what he's saying about the cost is probably true,
which is unfortunate, I'm sure.
As well. Yeah. USA, you are a mess.
But that's, you know, that's why you should be, you know, going for a single-payer system in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like we have up here. Yeah.
Instead, people avoid it because of the cost.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, or they're libertarian.
You know what I was really annoys me is like, oh, we, you know, blah, 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 free healthcare. I don't think any Canadian would call it free healthcare. We call it universal healthcare because we know we're paying for it and we're fine with that.
And I pay a monthly fee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just reasonable.
You know, your base healthcare is already, you know, not at charge to you. But, you know, if you want prescriptions and, you know, dental ambulances, glasses covered, you pay a little extra for that, right? Like, you know, that's where we pay for insurance, but, you know.
Blue Cross, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I had
my cancer, you know, surgery and treatments, right?
What pisses me off is the people who say we're paying taxes
so we can afford, we've invested so we can actually afford when it actually happens. I don't seem to get that.
Free healthcare, that's such a pipe dream. Well, yeah, it is. But, you know, like people have to be on board socially and agree that we're going to take care of one another. And they're just not.
And pay the taxes to do it.
Because they kind of don't give a shit about other people. You know, some people just, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. I don't give a rat's ass about you. So they're not so inclined to, like, to us, it's just a norm that we do that. Right?
Well, there was a lot of opposition to Medicare when it first came in. And
I'm sure most of that came from doctors. What's up?
Most of it came from doctors.
Sure. I'm sure. You got to make sure they're treated fairly too.
Yeah, and they
are.
Doctors, nurses.
No government will touch healthcare now. You know, it's political suicide up here. It's
The conservatives do touch on it. They want to privatize.
Yeah, that's
everything.
True. Especially, you know, previous ones here in Alberta.
Didn't fly though, did it?
No.
You know?
There is semi-private.
They managed to privatize some services.
Yeah, like imaging.
Yeah.
That kind
of thing. So it actually costs taxpayers more, but
yes. All right, are we done with the?
Well,
these two twits.
It was such a Dunning-Kruger diatribe too. He's like, they don't know anything about the human body, really.
Oh, yeah. I could.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but it's just a certificate from a training camp.
A training camp. My God.
It's just like what?
So I'd rather diss doctors and let my kid die than.
Yeah. Wow. I think they know at least enough that babies need food and water.
They can't figure out if she was sick, but they know what she died of, the result of. So whether that she couldn't feed, maybe because they didn't take care of whatever issue was suggested to be taken care of, or they haven't determined that. So
man, they're going to be in the slammer for a long time.
I'd like to know what this guy's so-called history with the medical industrial complex or whatever the hell he wants to
pharmaceutical
like what is
probably industry crappy read online from the Alties.
Well, I'm wondering if he maybe schizophrenia maybe involved in this kind of thing, and you know, maybe he's off his meds to say such crazy shit.
You understand religion, everything he said actually makes sense. and then throw in the anti, like maybe he something happened to him as a kid and it got spun as this by his parent, and or he's making it up completely. But when you go on that faith and you don't know anything about the medical industry, you don't know what doctors learn, you go on in this whole other justification of, well, God would provide. So if you have to believe in God to be effective, all this crap, like the religious tell each other that they sit around in their churches and say these things.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I have known people who've had schizophrenia who are fine until they go off their meds, and then they, you know,
but it's church.
And then you intersect that with a religious belief, and now you've got a real situation, right?
But if you look at the Stefans and how they brainwash themselves about the medical industry and how much better the alternatives are and all natural things are, and when you mix that with what that belief is with the church belief,
yeah,
and how doctors are just stupid, everything he says I've heard before coming out of the religious. So it's not surprising to me. Yes, it sounds crazy because it is, but that's what they learn and teach each other and tell their children. And yeah, they sound like a raving schizophrenic. Have you read the Bible? It looks like schizophrenic.
Well, yeah, but he explicitly said he'd been, you know, had some kind of medical intervention as a kid. And I'm just curious what that would be. You know, like I said, then you layer on religious nonsense.
You don't diagnose schizophrenia as a child, though. Usually the women get it as an adult and guys get it around 18.
Yeah.
So what medical intervention did he have that led him to be so cynical about? Yeah, that's what I'm super curious about that.
He either made it up, because a lot of people that justify their going to alternative medicine do, or his parent fed him misinformation about something that might have actually happened to him. So,
or maybe had the same thing that his daughters got and it was passed down to him through him, you know?
We're speculating.
curious about, you know.
But if you go on to message boards, religious alti message boards, this is the stuff you'll read.
I don't doubt that. Yeah.
And you'll hear it in church. You go to church, you're going to hear it in church, especially Mormon in some areas.
Yeah. So, I think Randy's trying to hint that he wants to go to bed. Tired, Randy?
Damn mosquito. Sorry.
Mosquito? Oh, gosh.
No mosquitoes in this house.
I thought you were trying to politely tell us to fuck off and go to bed.
It's just a splat on a wall now.
Okay, cleaned up later. Maybe cat will get it.
I'm not getting bitten. I've hardly seen. Actually, no, it's been a pretty good year for mosquitoes.
Okay,
it's been too damn hot and dry for them.
Yeah, sure. Thank goodness.
Holy shit, how are you guys doing with all the smoke? I mean, it's kind of dampered out with the rain, but wow. Holy.
It's shitty for astrophotography.
Yeah,
that's why I couldn't get out from Mars.
It affected me because my asthma is not induced by that kind of smoke. If you give me like smoke from a cigarette or a marijuana, that's what my asthma is induced by. But there are people out there whose asthma will be affected by this, so I feel sorry for them. The absolute misery.
There was one day when it went right off the scales here. And the minute I stepped out of my house, it was like, holy crap, I could smell it.
Oh, you're talking about the smoke. I was going to say, this is not, that wasn't hot.
Came on, you know?
But
yeah, that's how I feel every day in sense, every day. Just imagine if you felt like that every day. Your eyes, my eyes got itchy.
Oh, God, I was practically scratching out my nose. And oh,
that's me every day.
Yeah.
I've got rhinitis, and you know, so it's bad whether there's smoke or not. So I'm always, you know, get the neti pot out, and I use it. That's a squirt bottle, actually. It goes one nostril and out the other. cleans it out like Tidy Bowl. Anyway, okay. We've got two stories left. And let's see. Was it Control E? Or is it Control I? It's Control I. All right. This is like an internet gasm, because I've got this screaming new computer. There's no lag, no delay.
Nice.
And everything. The only thing that hasn't worked tonight is the Skype video. And I don't know why. That's probably a Skype issue. But this machine is amazing. I love it. I mean, I've got three 2K monitors. Oh, we got somebody. We got Sam on here. He's going to probably talk about...
We've got a conversation happening again here, too.
Do we? Okay. Hey. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Actually, that's Vincent.
That's Vincent. Hi, Vincent. Okay, Vincent. Hi, Vincent.
It is. I said that I would call in.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just catching up with the chat now because I've been so busy yapping. I wasn't, as usual, paying attention to the feed here. So, yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone seen an old Canadian movie called The Boys of St. Vincent?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Christopher Plummer?
It rings a bell from long ago, hey?
Super graphic. Super graphic for its time when it came out in 1992.
Was it 92? Oh, okay.
Which incidentally was the year that I came out as well.
Okay. Okay.
Oh. Yes.
Came out as atheist?
We're out of the birth canal.
Yes. So I'm wondering.
No, when I came out as gay.
Oh.
Okay.
So it was the obvious reference. Okay. We missed. We both missed. Okay.
It's funny how we don't just assume that anymore.
No, we don't.
Well, because I was also kind of abused like that when I was younger. We won't get into that.
No.
But so The Boys of St. Vincent was fairly graphic, and there were some instances of it was based on true stories. The story itself was not true, but it was based on true stories of past medical records and news and stuff like that. And some of that stuff, I'm sure, was in the reports in Philadelphia as well. They kind of brought it to the forefront back in 92 of what happened in the Catholic Church. Although in this instance, it was a orphanage in the story. Saint Vincent was an orphanage. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, there was bad stuff happening in anything that was run by faith-based organizations.
Yeah, not just Catholic Church, too.
Yeah, that's why I broadened it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to touch on the
I have to see if I can find it.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good for its time. Brought a lot of tears to my eyes. So I didn't even know back then what triggering was, because it wasn't even in the lexicon. But but it definitely did trigger. So
Did it help at all?
Go ahead.
Did it help you process all that?
To watch it. What effect did it have on you?
Well, it kind of did, in that it kind of made it to where I said, fuck it, I'm going to come out to everybody. I don't care anymore. And there were a few people who did not like it whatsoever. But then there were others that were like, hey, it's okay, we accept you for who you are, and and that's the way the cookie crumbles. And of course, now it's been 25 years, 20.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, at least 25 years. So, you know, a lot has happened back then, or a lot has happened since then. But I don't know. It's still a struggle. When you've been abused, and I'm sure for all the other people that have been abused, it never goes away. It's always with you. Some can cope with it better than others. Some can't. But it never, it never goes away. Kind of.
I think the most important thing to always keep in mind is that it wasn't your fault.
The movie helped.
Yeah.
To come out.
I mean, just overall psychologically, people need to be told that when things happen to them in their childhood or when they're in, you know, a position of where they're not in power, it's not their fault. And, you know, if there's one thought that I hope helps people move along, that's got to be the one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But did it also help to know that some of it was finally coming out and that you don't have to be afraid to be the lone voice in the wilderness?
For me, no, because I was always an introvert.
Yeah.
So it didn't really help with that aspect. So I've never had a relationship. I've never had really any friends, long-standing friends to speak of, mostly just acquaintances. And now it's, you know, 25 years later, and my life has gotten a little bit better, but it still hasn't, psychologically speaking, I still haven't.
Is it a trust issue?
Had the life that I'd like to have, kind of thing.
So. Yeah, socially. Is it a trust issue too, then? Or just...
Is it a what issue? Sorry?
Trust? Is it hard to trust anyone? Trust. And build that bond?
I can't trust anybody. I guess I just... Someone said that I had a wall up. Mm-hmm. And I guess I still do. I still have that wall. So. But some people have that wall, and some people are able to let down their guard. And I guess I never have done that, letting down my guard, I guess.
Well, if it makes you feel safe, but it would take a bit of... I guess you could say work with a therapist, I think, to get past, because they give you homework on interacting with people and stuff too. So have you ever looked at seeing someone to talk to?
I've done all that throughout the 20 some odd years. Oh yeah. But it just never seems to come out. I guess because I'm in a comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yes, I just leave that.
There's no one
zone.
Pushing you out of it.
But I do go out and socialize sometimes. I mean, you guys have seen me socialize somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was just going to say how much I've been out of med school. So enjoyed your company very much. You know.
Yeah. So it's not like I'm at home all
curled
the time.
Up.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it's okay as an introvert just to have like one or two friends, not 10 or 20 or anything too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, the Boys of St. Vincent is on the internet somewhere. Oh. There's bits and pieces of it apparently on YouTube. Oh. So
you have a YouTube channel and a yeah. Are you wanting to promote something? Is what I'm asking. Do you have a YouTube or something like that, or a podcast?
I'm just saying that it's there. And it was a pretty good movie, and that's how I came out. And it was them kind of going through the court case again, just like these people went through a court case and exposing what was going on in the past kind of thing. So.
That's really brave.
Yeah.
So, I think the 90s was a bit of a turning point, thank goodness, to things like that, because that's when I started learning a lot more about it.
It was.
I think we might have lost Randy.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
I'm just fuzzy. Changing some settings here.
Okay.
Well, Vincent, I just want to thank you so much for like entrusting us with that news and you know your story and sharing it with you. I'm going to see you at Unity, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon Good? Me?
Yeah. Are you going to be at Unity?
Yeah.
Good.
At Unity.
Unity in uniform.
I might.
Okay. I know you're there last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's on the 31st, isn't it?
I think so. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have my... Anyway, I'm planning to be there for sure. And
yeah,
I hope to see you.
Yeah, I might be there. So.
Okay. I hope so.
Yeah. All right. And I'll sit with you this time if you're there. So,
yeah. So I was with Stuart last time. So yeah. Did we invite you? I think you were on a stool. But
you invited me, and I was kind of
comfortable. I don't want to disturb you, basically. Right?
Yeah. And then the lesbian couple kind of annoyed me with their child.
No. People without kids are less tolerant.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
well, kids weren't allowed. They must have been showing you the photographs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Parents.
It was. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh, they were sweet. Like, here's our child. See our child. Isn't this child lovely? Isn't this like wonderful?
Yeah. See, I would have been like sitting there, like, yeah. Oh, how cute!
Yeah, being the parent. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
So different when you're a parent.
That's what it was like. It was look. Here's the child. Here's your child. Here's my child. You know, look at my child. Say hi to my child. And it's like
just quietly say, yeah, okay, move on.
That's when you need to. You're like, you know, when you know somebody that's there, give that person the rescue me look. Because if you had like kind of looked at me and you know waved me over, I would have helped. Let's put it that way, right?
Oh. Yeah.
If I'd call you, because it was pretty busy and crowded and that kind of thing. But yeah, there's ways to be rescued from super boring discussions.
Yeah, it's at a bigger venue this year.
Okay.
Way bigger venue. Oh, yes. That was small. That other bar was it was very small. This one that the Bank and Baron is huge. Huge. Have you ever been there?
I don't. Well, is it the bank? Like the bank on 8th Avenue Mall kind of thing? It's not that bank, is it?
It was a bank at one time, but they've turned it into a bar called the Bank and Baron. It's on 8th Avenue, just off of 1st Street, Southwest. Southeast.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Over years, that's changed, and it's, you know, been clubs and blah, blah, blah. Beautiful building.
Oh, yeah, and it's huge. There is a lot of room, a lot of space there, so I'm thinking that the venue wants a huge... they want a lot of people there, and I think that this will be a lot better than the other one. The other one was sort of crowded, and I think this one is
so fun, though. You know, there was people outside in the the patio was open too, right? It was fun.
Right.
I had such an amazing time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess I should promote this. This is Gregory John's event, Unity in Uniform. It's to celebrate our police officers, firefighters, EMTs, the military, and that kind of thing. So it's, you know, you can come as you'd like if you want to be in uniform or just whatever, right? Last year, I was so tempted to go in like a black and white striped pajamas, but I just didn't have anything like that. So I wanted to go as a prisoner. Anyway, let's hope a lot of people show up. I know I'm sorry I don't have the page open, but I know that he accepts donations for a particular charity the name escapes me of right now, but very much a worthwhile event to attend. And if you're in Calgary and you want to celebrate Pride Week, that is an awesome event to attend.
What's the date again?
Yeah.
When is it now? Hang on. I'm going to look it up. Give me one moment.
Sure.
I'll race you to look it up.
Pardon me?
I said I'll race you to look it up.
Okay.
I found it. Unity in Uniform, the Bank and Baron Pub.
August 31st.
August 31st, 125 8th Avenue Southwest. So apparently there's 100 people going. It says here 100 people are going. And 220 are interested. So that's way bigger than what the other bar could handle.
Well, that was kind of put together quite quickly, too. And they did do a fundraiser. So you know what? That was a very successful event, given the, I guess, I don't know what I want to say, the... how quickly it was planned given the political terrain that was going on in at that time,
right?
Shall we say, Gregory John is amazing, and he's one of the three hosts of this event, and
right, even Kent Hare went there, so. August 31st. It's Friday.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Sunday.
Well, a few days from now,
I don't know. Sunday.
It's off Pride Week, basically, right?
No, see, it's when the Pride Parade is, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm tired. It's 9:42. I need to take my other medications. So, so that's it. Anyway, I will let you go.
I hope to see you there. And again, thank you so much. I really was moved by what you said, and pretty honored that you chose to share it on our podcast with us. And thank you so much.
It's not like I haven't shared it like a thousand times before. So
still, thank you.
But at least I'm sharing it this way, anyway. So.
Well, if you're there, I will hug you as always, and we'll sit together if we can, I'm not interrupting you, I don't know, overwhelmed with baby pictures. That's funny.
No, it was the baby itself, not baby pictures. They decided to bring the child.
How did they get the child in there?
That was the disturbing part, is they had the baby.
I don't think that was supposed to happen.
Well, that's what they did.
There should have been some cops around to help.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well,
so it must have been open to you. Yeah.
Okay. Laws in Alberta are that you are able to bring a child in there up to a certain age, and then once they're a certain age, then that's it. So
yeah, because they don't know. It is a restaurant basically, but usually after certain hours, they kind of make it into more club atmosphere, and some of them. Well, so makes sense.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, but. Oh, well, they ended up making me leave kind of early, so. But, well, they didn't make me do it, but I just left early because that was it. Anyways,
yeah,
you probably have more on the show, so I'll let you go. And I'm still listening and watching and stuff, so.
Thanks, you.
But we'll see you soon. Having me on.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, good night.
Thanks. All right, let's get through these last two stories. Ottawa Mosque loses charity status for promoting hate and violence. There we go. So in Ottawa Mosque, it's called, I can't remember what it's called now. Anyway, the Canada Revenue Agency, they've revoked tax-free status from the Ottawa Islamic Center and As-Salam Mosque following audits, that raised concern about its roster of guest speakers. And there have been a few that have been in there, and they include the report itself. There's also $164,000, if I remember correctly, that was listed, but the source was never identified.
Uh-oh.
It kind of makes me think Saudi Arabia. That's purely conjecture, but there were lots of deficiencies in their reporting, and the people that they invited in for speaking were you know, either, some of them were, at least one of them was banned from Germany, Britain, Australia. I think that was Philip Bilal. Let's see. So they go through some of the people that were invited speakers. Abu Usama at Thahabi, he was videotaped for several months by undercover reporters, for a British documentary called Undercover Mosque. Yes, police actually sued the BBC over this because they said it was, not defamatory, but it was misinforming public. Turned out they weren't misinforming anybody. It was actually, they showed them the original tapes and they said, okay, we're not going to take you to court. He's said Allah has created women deficient. So you're deficient. Even if she gets a PhD, deficient. Her intellect is incomplete. Deficient. Or it's one of the things he has said, take that homosexual man and throw him off the mountain. You get a feeling that's kind of kind of a person this is.
Yeah.
Talking about gay rights. They have given them unprecedented rights so that your child can be exposed and introduced to lesbians. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now they say if you discriminate against that, you're going to jail. No, I don't think anybody said that, but you're going to be, you could, if you're a business and you discriminate, no one loves the kuffar. No one loves the kuffar. Not a single person here from the Muslims loves the kuffar. Whether those kuffars are from the UK or from the US, we love the people of Islam and we hate the people of kufir. We hate the kuffar. In other words, us.
He's actually using the word hate.
He's actually using the word hate, and they're surprised that that Canada Revenue Agency is, you know, coming down on them.
It's literally hate speech.
Yeah. Christians and Jews are enemies to Muslims. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just Yeah, that's just one person. Let's see who else. Abu Amina Bilal Phillips, that's what his name is. He's been banned from a number of countries. Let's see. I said, I don't know if there's anything in here that's... hey, you love this one. In Islam, a woman is obliged to give herself to her husband and he may not be charged with rape.
Huh. Oh, we knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe that's true in Islam. It's not true in the Canada Criminal Code, buddy.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It was true. Over
yeah.
there.
Yeah. That, yeah. In the 70s, up until the 70s, I guess. Yeah. So there's all these people that they invited and to speak, and they're wondering why they're getting, you know. This is not
their charity status revoked. Yeah,
I mean, we're supposed to be promoting charities that do something for society, not
promote
send
hate.
It back to the dark ages.
And well, I stepped away for a moment, and I recall one of these hate spewing persons saying, "Well, blah blah blah, it's my right to freedom of speech, isn't it?"
Oh yeah, yeah. There was
and you said, know, there's that yeah. line where you know, much well,
no,
as I
there's no vibe. You know, he's got the right to say it. Right.
What's up?
He's got the right to say almost all of this.
I don't think that when you actually go to inciting violence, that's a line, right? If you say, "Oh,
that's a line in a courtroom," this is CRA.
Or, excuse my language, but
yeah,
that's free speech. But it's once you say we need to kill all the fags and stone them to death and throw them off roofs and mountaintops, then you're in the hate speech territory. And,
the inciting violence.
Well, no, I think the incitement is let's go kill the gays. That's incitement. Yeah. That we should go and kill all gay men. That's really, really close. I don't think it would be considered that. Is it hate speech?
I like how they leave out the women.
But there's speech, their free speech is not being curtailed. They're just having their charity status revoked.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can go say that wherever they want.
I don't think there's actual incitement here.
Yeah. They just can't claim exemptions from CRA now.
Which is a big problem for them. Which is fine. I don't care. That's, it's good. This is not what an enlightened society promotes. And that's what
raise money for the rent otherwise, too bad.
Yeah. And they were saying it was because of these two board members. Well, how did they get on the board? How did you get voted onto a board. You don't assign yourself the post. Yeah. So who voted for them? Well, people in the mosque. So I don't feel that's at all an excuse. Freedom of speech is not freedom from consequences.
Yeah.
We just can't.
We won't charge them for saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to charge them with criminal act. They're really skirting the line. Yeah. They're skirting that line. They're skating on very thin ice, but they understand. These people understand. Like, it's just same with Walcott. They walk a very fine line. Bill Walcott did this, so he's tough to say whether he actually crossed.
Was that Bill Walcott? Saskatchewan that was handing out flyers and shit?
Yes, on the University of Regina campus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And
just like fill the audience in.
Oh, I'm just working
essentially handing out like flyers that were anti-LGBTQ.
Yes,
but like you say, just. I'm sure they know more about the law than any three of us combined. Or
more than the police that charge them. That's
precisely
sure.
their point, Yeah.
Or same with Arthur Pavlovsky. Same thing.
He
skirts that line. The street preacher here in Calgary. And boy, he's...
The hate speech preacher walking that line of not hate speech.
Everybody knows what he means, but you can't... That's not a legal standard, right? Doesn't meet the legal test.
Well, this is super fucked up, but I don't know. There's been a couple of times when I've heard people of the Islamic faith say, "Oh, it will be a kindness to kill Yeah. Oh my God, that's so fucked up.
Yeah, like you get you get to make that choice.
That's an act of charity and, you know, a generosity, and we're saving their souls and all that. Like, fuck.
I'd like to show them my charity in the form of a clenched fist donation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just knock a few teeth out. That's charity, baby. There you go. But I'd probably end up in prison for that. You know, you
can't have that.
I shouldn't condone violence like that. But I'd be pretty hard pressed to stop myself. Yeah.
I don't think I'm such a smartass that I have never really been involved in anything violent. But I've
another vi actually
words. You know, yeah. I can be pretty harsh with my words.
Yeah, I can.
And call people out publicly and shame them too, even, you know, if the situation warrants it, I'll do it, you know. If somebody doesn't beat me to it, which is sometimes the case too, right?
Yeah, I like nothing better than online to demolish people.
Yeah, I don't know. Like sometimes you're in a situation...
Oh, they ask for it. I mean, if they ask for it, yeah, I'm going to give it to them. I won't hold back. Like,
there's been a couple of times when I've been like in a service station and, or, you know, gas station, whatever, and I'm sitting in line waiting to pay my bill. Like, okay, one time it was this guy who was like, I didn't get a receipt from the thing because he hadn't pressed the right button or whatever, and he's demanding that the store clerk provide him with a written receipt, right? And, okay, I don't know if this had anything to do with racism, but the guy behind the counter, you know, was doing his utmost best, a brown guy, as we, you know, say these days, doing his utmost best to try to, you know, like, deal with this customer. And, man, I was just like, finally the guy gave up, but I was this close to saying, fuck off, buddy. What do you think? This is the goddamn 70s and that people can just issue, you know, written receipts? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, that wasn't an old guy. It was probably, you know, somebody in around our age kind of thing that knows better. You don't get written receipts anymore. You're just being a goddamn pain in the ass and there's 10 people behind you. Fuck off. You know?
I feel the same way about old people getting the exact change out at the checkout. Getting the exact change out at the checkout. I just go into homicidal maniac mode. It drives me nuts. I hope I never get like that.
So I totally told up. I haven't shared this other than, you know, kind of in private, but there's my dad and I went to visit one of those medical shops where you know, get specialty bandages and all that kind of stuff, right? COA, medical supply place.
It's called duct tape. Right?
What?
It's called duct tape. Works on everything.
Got, like, holy shit. They've got aisles and aisles of bandages, not to mention everything from scooters to everything, right? And so it's, you know, it's kind of a busy place and you know, people need a bit of assistance from the clerk to, you know, match up their orders and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of the clientele. Dad and I,
what's up?
It's kind of the clientele.
Yeah. And also, you know, like once you know what you need, then you can quickly go and grab it off the shelf and you don't have to. But when you've, you know, been issued something new to try, you need a bit of help, right? So this is what my dad did. And we were waiting on the till to pay for this. And this guy comes blasting up and I need some help here kind of thing. It was obvious that we were in the middle of a transaction. And you know, the woman said, I'd be happy to help you after I serve these customers. And he just... I don't know, he muttered something rude and went off on his own way. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's in line with another person, you know, because it wasn't that busy. He could have fucking, you know, moved lines. And then he starts, you know, their service around here is terrible and blah, 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 kind of thing, right? And what did I say? I can't remember quite what I said, but I think it was something like, Jesus Christ, quit your complaining and move along. We all have to hear you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it worked, right? And then my dad was looking over the bill, like you say, Randy, how seniors kind of, you know, they want to interrogate every little thing, right? And like I did make people giggle in the lineup with that one, including my dad. And then my dad starts going around, well, is that the right price? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're keeping it. So, but like, hey, that guy was rude to the staff, rude, you know, the first, our you know, the person that was dealing with us was a person of color, but the next person was a white person, and he's just ranting on and abusing the staff. And that's not why I go shopping. I don't want to see some asshole abusing staff.
Yeah, it's ruining your
experience. I'll speak out about that, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tolerate it a little bit, but bloody hell.
Enough.
Yeah.
Enough's right. Enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's finish this off. Indonesia's top Islamic body issues fatwa against the measles vaccine, calling it religiously forbidden. I mean, I guess that would be haram. So because they claim that there's porcine and human cells in the vaccine, that it's not good for you from an Islamic perspective. Anyway, take it away.
I don't know why people are picking on the measles vaccine so much. It's one of the worst diseases for babies. And then to get SSPE later as a child, you watch your child die slowly. It's just great. But of course, with that religion, you can't have anything to do with pork. As a kid, if you ever had gelatin, it's a sub.
Well, Jell-O and gelatin are very different.
Yeah. Oh, gelatin. But, you know, the substance is derived from collagen of animals, chickens. But I was pretty sure the horse hoof thing was in Jell-O, wasn't it? And then
that's always been my understanding.
Yeah. Cattle, pigs, fish. Collagen is found in tendons, ligaments, bones, cartilage. Porcine gelatin does come from collagen in pigs. All forms of gelatin for use in medicine are manufactured under strict hygiene and safety regulations. Why is it used? And it actually says used in vaccines. It's a wide range of medicines, including capsules, vaccines. It's used as a stabilizer to ensure the vaccine remains safe and effective during storage. Vaccine manufacturers normally test a wide range of stabilizers and choose one that is stable, good quality, available in sufficient volume. Unlike the gelatin used in foods, this product used in vaccines is highly purified and broken down into very small molecules called peptides. So when you start getting to the molecular level, you could actually synthesize this stuff. So to pick on which animal it's coming from, why don't vaccines get made with other types? It says developing a vaccine takes many years of laboratory testing and clinical studies to ensure that it is both safe and effective. Once the manufacturer chooses the stabilizer, any change in this could require extensive laboratory and clinical studies again, and that takes years and years. Because of this, developing a new safe, effective vaccine with a different stabilizer may take several years or may never happen, which is the rules of what pharmaceuticals must follow, even though in the end, molecularly, it's exactly the same. It's coming from a different source. So then they got to prove that it's safe, even though it's like if you made water out of, you know, stuff out of the air. In the UK, routine immunizations, there are the three. There's a flu one, MMR, and Zostavax. The only way I can describe it is if you take pee and then you distill it so that you just get the water in the end. You don't have any of the other products. You're not going to have pig cells in this. So for them to get it's unfortunate, but how do you explain to people that don't know how these things work that essentially it's no longer pig, really? It could come from any source and end up being that. It's just they process pigs a lot. People eat a lot of pork, so it's a cheap source. And
yeah, the other white meat.
To force people to go to other sources and take years doing that. So, unfortunately, unless they start synthesizing it massively and prove that synthesized product, they're asking these people who are selling these vaccines, and unlike what the Alti say, they're not a high profit.
Yeah, they're not.
Product. So to ask them to go through all of that testing phases again when this has been used for years and years, So I don't see a solution here. But again, if there is a way to explain, it's not really, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's no longer pig, essentially. It wouldn't matter if it came from a plant or a chicken or whatever,
basically,
right?
They purified the stabilizers, and it doesn't matter where it came from. It's the same damn molecule.
Yeah, but they're going to get stuck on this source.
Yeah. Yeah, not a good fatwa. I mean, this even saying, okay, but use it for now because there's no other alternative. People are going to hear the first part, not the second.
Yeah.
And they're not. It's the same thing with AIDS in Africa and Catholics. The Vatican saying, well, you can. It's okay to use condoms there because of potential for contracting and spreading HIV. But guess what? They hear the first part, not the second, and they still go.
And they think they're going to go to hell because you've already told them that.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, exactly same situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, yeah, you reverse your messages. Now it's okay to use condoms, and you've already put that poison out there. And,
yeah, it's
you're responsible for how many deaths.
Poisoning
right?
the well.
Yeah.
And people are going to, you know, it's going to result in a lower vaccination rate and, of course, cases of outbreaks of measles and the side effects of measles, which are physical side effects of measles, which are permanent and common.
And could be life-threatening again.
Yes, potentially life-threatening.
When they're a kid, like even, 6, 7 years old.
Even in the first world, if you end up with what's that encephalopathy that it causes later on down the road?
Brain damage.
SSP. Hmm. It, yeah, you, there's no treatment for that.
SSPE that results.
Yeah, SSPE is not treatable. You're toast.
Subacute sclerosing panencephalitis.
Yeah.
And where does that originate?
Measles.
From getting measles.
Okay,
it stays in your system and then your brain.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's like chicken pox stores in your nerve cells. And it's a persistent
infection of measles, and it inflames the brain, and you slowly die, and you have to watch your child die.
Yeah, and there's no treatment.
There's been a case in the UK already.
I'm so glad I grew up in a society where vaccinations were regarded as your social responsibility as opposed to your individual choice. I know that's changed now and that kind of thing, but and anything that was available, and it was, you know, all available for free through our, you know, public education systems, and all you had to do was just sign the permission slip and you know,
protect your child.
Yeah. And I've still got my vaccination records from when I was a kid. I've always kept track of them, and I've, you know, tried to be current on everything too. When I go to, you know, when Kara got her stuff, I made sure that I was up to date too. And, you know, even now, like, what do I need? Right.
Yeah.
Tetanus. I want to be on tetanus. I'm okay for, because I had tetanus. What was it? That one that we had at town.
DPT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. DPT. Yeah. And I just happened to be due for tetanus anyway. So I'm like, yeah. And so now I've got that little note that they put that is added to my, you know, immunization record. And it's important to keep track of these things and to stay on top of them. You know, what's up?
I don't have any of my records.
Randy, go get updated.
Oh, I'm updated. I just don't have the records. You know, I've
like
had
when Darren
DPT
and I and Kara went to Mexico, we got, what was it?
Twin Rex?
Did you just say Twin Rex?
Twin Rex, not
for what the hell is it
Twin Rex. It's for
that's for hepatitis.
Hepatitis.
Yeah, yeah, A. Yeah. And so we all had, you know, before we left, we all had a course of those.
Yeah, I've had that.
You know, just yeah. Yeah,
I've had yellow fever, diphtheria.
Causes liver cancer. That's not a good way to go.
Yeah, whatever's available out there, I'm going to participate in as long, you know, right? Yeah, I trust our health body here in Canada.
Right? With all those rules,
which prevents this
change in the vaccine.
And again, like I said, even if I didn't, it's still my social responsibility to be participating in the herd. You know,
immunity.
And the fact that you know, if I'm dealing with kids my daughter's age now, right? And some of them are starting to get pregnant and, you know, blah, 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 families. It's like, if you haven't been updated with your vaccinations, you go and fucking do it now, because now you're going to be exposed to babies and stuff like that. You go visit your friends and there's, you know, like, just get yourself up to date. You know, if you've not had the advantage of parents who have already, you know, let you go through that public, I guess, course of regular immunizations, catch yourself the fuck up, you know?
On that note,
sorry,
it's time to go to bed. Yeah. Time to go to sleep. Nope.
Twilight, you had something to say?
Well, we're going to see the rise in measles, and they're just,
yeah,
it's going to hurt kids. So I'm then, of course, being that it's so virulent, we're going to see more cases elsewhere as that rises. So it's like, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks a freaking lot.
But it does give us this opportunity to say to anybody in our audience who hasn't been updated, who doesn't know their, you know, immunization status, yeah, get yourself updated. Yeah. Randy.
I have my MMR. Sorry. It was a couple years ago. Done. Have you got yellow fever? Yep.
I don't know. What would
No,
be that
I know you don't.
Isn't that a travel one?
That's a travel one, yeah.
I might have that one.
I have, but it I think it's only good for a couple of years, so I've got diphtheria. What else? Well, DPT.
Typhus?
MMR.
I had typhus.
Oh, maybe that's what. Yeah, that's a typhus. Yeah, that's another travel one. Because diphtheria is part of the DPT, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it must have been typhus that I had. A few other things. Had a whack of them. Before I went to Africa. I had a whole slew of them and had to take anti-malarials. There's going to be they're working on a malaria vaccine actually.
Yeah.
It's in testing. Ebola's in testing. I didn't go into an Ebola region, but Rwanda was fairly close in Ghana, not too far
away from the Ebola region. Yeah.
But not where she was, so. Yeah.
Regardless, I think it's
always flu's coming up.
A,
flu
keep up with your vaccinations and your, you know.
Get your flu vaccine.
And B, if you're going to, yes, for sure. And B, if you're going to travel, check into what you need. You know, I just haven't traveled enough to necessarily.
Yeah, you can just go to the travel, as it was the one at Sheldon Shumir Center is a travel.
Okay.
Vaccination place. It's on the same floor as the venereal disease treating department. So he's like, you know, like, gee, I hope nobody notices I'm going. Yeah, I'm just going to make sure everybody knows I'm going over to the travel vaccinations part. I'm not here for VD.
You're not going to the methadone clinic.
That's okay.
Why did they do that? Don't put it on the same damn floor.
my family physicians, you know, they delivered my daughter and they were family physicians, but they started, you know, basically specializing in maternity. So like my poor daughter, when she was like about, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, I'd say, I'm going to, you know, cause it was in like a superstore. So I'm going to go shopping and you sit here. And like, meanwhile, she's like sitting among all these pregnant women. And she's like, oh my God, mom, I felt so embarrassed. Cause like, I'm so young and people just probably assumed I was pregnant. Right. And it's like, oh, I get it, but you know, good care is good care and whatever. Right.
And Sheldon Shamir Center is one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. But parking is murder.
That's true.
Parking is murder everywhere around here.
Yeah. Well, downtown, exactly. Yeah. Downtown Calgary. There you go.
I had to pay $75 a month to park under the Sheldon Shimmer when I worked there.
Wow. Yeah. You'd think that would be a covered benefit. Wow.
Here in Red Deer, you can pay anywhere between $50 and $100 to park downtown now.
Monthly. Well, I think
That's nothing compared to Calgary.
The last I heard, we were second in highest prices next to New York.
Or is it?
I think that's kind of changed London, a bit because... Sorry, Randy, I can't hear
you. Yeah. So I thought it was London, but yeah.
No, I'm talking about North America.
Oh, North America. Okay.
Yeah.
I know we're not far from London's probably the worst. Anyway, so I think we're going to shut her down for tonight. And it's been a really good experience with the new computer. It's been awesome.
Good.
I love it.
Yeah, thanks for all you do, Randy. Yeah.
This computer
is just amazing. It's a really good experience just to participate in this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Threadripper processor and 32 gigs and 1080 Ti graphics card. This thing's just amazing.
Nice.
And a little flash SSD drive.
Cool.
So it's like, boom. That's so fast. Literally how fast it boots. Done. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Instead of the 5 minutes. Literally 5 minutes. When I logged in, it would take so long to get all the startup. So bloatware up and running.
Yeah. I hear you. Like nothing. My computer is just fine for now, terrible. But it accumulates, you know.
I was always worried doing this because it would crash. It did crash that one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just now I can do anything I want. And still, the CPU is still bored.
So, cool.
Huge number of cores.
So anyway, I'm going to sign off, guys.
Yeah, we're going to go. And so good night, everybody.
We have to do the outro, don't we?
Yeah, we do. You've been listening to the Legion of Reason Diversion coming to you from Alberta, Canada. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to our bi-weekly podcast on iTunes and other podcatchers. Even better, subscribe to our YouTube live sessions where you can join in on the discussion. Thanks for giving us a listen. Music and other sound effects under license from audioblocks.com.